This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is your final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 431. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also provided by Alibaba and their groundbreaking conference for small business owners, Gateway 17, on June 21st to June 22nd in Detroit. Well, conflicts are inevitable in any company. As a small business owner, your job is not to make sure they don't happen, but how do they get resolved when they do happen? Here to help is Jamie Wright. She's a highly sought-after millennial lawyer and crisis communicator in Los Angeles. She's currently an active practicing member and partner in Millennial Government Affairs. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
We're glad you're here. I think that's really the first mistake that a lot of business owners make. And also, quite honestly, people make a lot of different relationships. They're trying to prevent conflicts. But aren't conflicts inevitable if people are really having open conversations?
Conflicts are sometimes inevitable because people have differences of opinion. But I think the open communication is key, because if you're honest, and you're respectful in your delivery, you really can mitigate some of the conflict.
I like that you mentioned, Jamie, open communication, because I've been married for 26 years and people say, well, you know, what's really the secret to your marriage? And I say, well, it's because we have open communication, and a lot of small businesses don't. Things are always hush-hush. People are whispering. How do you foster open communication in a company?
You know, it's ironic that you say you've been married for 26 years. I was recently reading a blog, and what I say is you look at your employers and employees and your company members in the sense of oneness, kind of like how you do marriage. You're all there for a singular purpose, which is to drive the business to success or to meet your goals or bottom line. So if you look at it from oneness, and this person is part of my team, you can really focus on being honest with that person and delivering what you have to say to them in a way that's going to make them comfortable. Now, there are some people who sort of outliers, right? Their idiosyncrasy is not going to allow you to open communicate, but you just have to do the best you can and try to convey your message.
So what kinds of practices can you take to make sure that people are comfortable?
Well, first of all, as a leader in the office, you can create an environment through workshops and policies in your handbook and, you know, the privacy jar where people can put in, you know, tips or suggestions to management, and making sure people feel comfortable in a management position. And that also allows people to feel like, okay, I'm connected to my management, and it also allows people to feel, okay, I matter here, and this is a place of open dialogue. Because as soon as people feel like they can't share their concerns, that's when conflict arises.
And I love you talk about open dialogue, because I think a lot of small business owners, we're not very good listeners because we're so used to selling ourselves and our product that we forget to listen to other people.
You know, I think one of the things that's helpful is having that open door policy, one, and then what I call the privacy jar. And it's not really a privacy jar. It's just a place where people can drop in anonymous concerns about a company, because sometimes they don't want to identify themselves out of fear.
Yeah, actually. Now, you also say that you have to have open communication, but you also need to establish good boundaries. How do you do both?
Well, boundaries is about letting people know what is and is not going to be tolerated. So gossip, jealousy, attacking other people. And I think that can happen through workshops and people doing sort of exercises where they work through fact patterns so that they can experience it in real time. And then sometimes most people just set their own boundaries by themselves.
We're talking with Jamie Wright. She's a highly sought-after millennial lawyer and crisis communicator in L.A. Jamie, you talk about office gossip. Now, everyone knows it's bad. Everyone does it. People love to do it. People are bound around it. How do you, I guess, monitor it, prevent it? What do you do around that? Because it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. You know, I think one of the things you do is through the workshops. and you do team building exercises, because when people feel like they're connected to one another, they're less likely to gossip about each other. So you have to facilitate an environment where people really feel, and I go back to that original point about the oneness and making this a marriage analogy, although we're not married to our job, the people on our staff, the people in our workplace, we have a sense of oneness together. And if we have that oneness mentality, we're not going to gossip. I mean, more than likely, you're not going to gossip about your wife, right, who you have oneness with, or your brother, or your sister, or your friend. But you will gossip about somebody that you may feel slightly disconnected from, and so you have to create that environment of feeling of oneness.
Yeah, I think that's true, because I think if you feel like someone's a third party and not part of your inner circle, you feel okay talking about them. But if you have a stake in them, you're going to feel more uncomfortable about that.
Exactly.
Now, Jamie, you also say that where this really starts, and I think this is very important, is it begins with hiring right in the first place. I find a lot of folks, mm-hmm. you know, they hire for skills, but a lot of times they don't hire for the cultural fit, and that's a mistake.
Yeah, you have to really think about your hiring practices. I know that some places now are asking you, what do you do for fun on the weekend? And I actually got a really interesting question the last time I interviewed, and it's been a while. She asked me, she said, what would your best friend say your flaw is, or a negative about your personality? And I thought that was a very good question. I think you can kind of learn about personalities in that space. I think the important part is, even if you hire someone and maybe they don't have a cultural fit, do you have the proper training mechanisms so that they can assimilate? You don't want people to assimilate, but if they can adapt to the culture around them.
And so I got to see, what was the answer to your question?
That I'm not good with saying no.
That's also about setting boundaries.
Exactly. I take on way too much.
And people would say about me, you know, you always answer my emails, but you all answer too quickly. You don't think through things. You don't give me
yes.
a complete answer. So they have more questions after you answer me. So that's also a problem.
Yes.
And so when conflicts do arise, Jamie, which inevitably will, what is the first step a business leader should do?
Step would be to identify the source of the conflict. You can't respond to a problem if you don't understand its true source. So that's where I would always begin. I think the second step is to separate the two parties involved and just talk to them, you know, a general high-level conversation, you know, who, what, when, where, and listen, and actively listen. And while you're doing this active listening, make sure you're leading. You're keeping things in a business mind. You're respectful. You're handling it in a very matter-of-fact way, so you're not getting into the nitty-gritty of the personal. From there, you know, find out what they would like to do to resolve the conflict. Does that mean two people need to be in front of each other and have a conversation? Or do you need to keep them separately and give them certain admonishments? From there, because you don't want to target anyone. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking that, you know, I've had a lot of success, you know, sitting people down, solving a conflict. But then when I pull out of it, the conflict comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do there?
You know, when conflict comes back, you know, you may want to seek professional assistance. Sometimes you need an actual conflict resolution person to come in and help you resolve it. Sometimes the conflict is, you know, separating the people without violating any employment laws, obviously, and maybe they need to be in different departments. You know, if the conflict arises and it becomes a work performance issue or a work product issue, then you have to consider the disciplinary aspects of that as well. You just have to keep elevating it depending on the circumstance.
So at what point do you make a decision, Jamie, where you say, you know, this isn't going to work, one of these people has to go?
You have to base that on work performance. And or if they're disrupting the environment so much that they're causing other people's work performance or work products to suffer. I think that's the evaluation that you have to look at.
I know a lot of folks have a problem because many times you have really great performers that are really disrupting the entire environment, and you're reticent to really let these people go because they're such good performers. What advice would you give to the leader in that circumstance?
Yeah. have an honest dialogue with them. You have to talk to them, and have HR get involved and talk to them. And maybe the other thing you can do with some people is send them to some training. Some ongoing training sometimes can make, you know, things better and go a really long way. Some people just need a third party to tell them, here's what we do in the workplace and here's how we do it. I think if the training doesn't work, you know, peer-to-peer mentoring is something you can try. And then at that point, if it's still not working, you know, really reevaluate if that's a person that you want in your workforce.
It's interesting because a lot of times I've said to people in these situations, you don't need to be friends, but you need to figure out how to work together.
Exactly. The oneness.
The oneness, exactly. Well, Jamie, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Oh, social media. You know, I'm on Twitter at Jamie Wright ESQ. On my Facebook, Jamie Wright, Attorney at Law. They can contact me via my website, www.jamiewrightesq.com, or you can send me an email, jwright@jamiewrightlawfirm.com.
Jamie, thanks for being on the show and giving us great advice.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Coming up next, how to make financial decisions that will make your company and you personally stronger. This is AM560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. In Long Grove, Robert Parker Coffin Road is closed between Schaefer and Route 83 for the Long Grove Chocolate Fest that continues throughout Sunday. Also, King Drive on the south side is closed between 25th and 24th Place. It's closed for ongoing construction, and CTA is rerouting the northbound number 3 and number 21 buses. Now, on the Kennedy heading outbound, between Harlem and Cumberland, there's road construction. That left lane is closed. That continues until 10 a.m. And also on the Stevenson, the inbound lanes between State and Lakeshore has long-term road construction in place. And also on the Dan Ryan between I-57 and the 91st, the inbound lanes have road construction with the left lane block. That continues until 8 a.m. Tonight, 58 and rainy. Tomorrow, 64 and partly cloudy, currently 63. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
There's been a lot of talk recently about fake news, and it's gotten a lot harder to know who in the media you can trust. Too often, reading just the headlines can be misleading. You need to turn to a place that you can trust, a place that gives you more than just the headlines and more than just the mainstream media spin. What you need are answers. That's why we're here. Get the latest news. Find out what it means and why it's important to you. Real news, real answers. Join us on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
Lately, it seems you're not feeling quite right, as if your body is working against you. Dr. Amy and Associates can help create a path to achieve optimal health. Experience personalized health care for your mind, body, and spirit at a practice that blends holistic and traditional medicine.
I was involved in a devastating head-on motorcycle accident, which left me broken, battered, and afraid. I turned to Dr. Amy and Associates to care for my broken body. With their help, I healed quickly. I was able to sleep, and the nightmare stopped. I was able to get back on the motorcycle without fear. Since they worked with my insurance, I've used them for allergy and food sensitivity testing, weight loss, massage, acupuncture, and life coaching. They use both Eastern and Western medicine, and is a holistic practice like no other. I am so grateful for Dr. Amy and Associates.
Call Dr. Amy and Associates to experience a whole person integrative approach to health and wellness. 630-980-1400 or visit dramyandassociates.com. Dr. Amy and Associates, empowering people, changing lives.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, many small business owners are really bad about making financial decisions around their company that will not only sustain it, but that would help financially them on a personal level for years to come. Here to help is Al Zenick, who is the CEO and founder of Trous Sullis Wealth Management, a boutique wealth management firm serving high-net individuals and families. He's got a great new book out. It's called Master Your Cash Flow, The Key to Grow and Retain Your Wealth. Al, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Barry. Thank you for having me.
Well, I have to tell you, I always focus for small businesses on cash flow because, you know, that idea that, you know, profits don't mean anything without having the right cash flow. Why do small business owners make such poor financial decisions?
Well, it's just basically because in general, the public, we're not really taught finances in high school or college. And so, quite frankly, we don't really know how to make decisions other than what our parents did or what we think is right or we watch some shows. But it's especially important for business owners. And I guess a lot of times, too, they're entrepreneurs, and they focused on getting the business started and running, but they don't look at cash flow. They think that's going to follow.
And so where do you start? Because for myself, and I've told the story a number of times, I have an MBA in finance and marketing from Northwestern University, and I lost $1 million off the sale price of my last company because I couldn't read a balance sheet. So having an MBA and not being able to read a balance sheet, if I can do it, anybody can do it. Where do you start as small business owners on that path so you make better financial decisions?
Well, one of them is, you know, as you just said, reading a financial statement is, you know, most owners are not going to be able to do that. So what you do is you surround yourself with really great people. So I always say make sure as a business owner you have a championship-level team of experts around you, a championship-level team, a CPA, attorney, you know, insurance agent, and so that these people can help guide you because your talent is having the business go, making the money, and you need that kind of support to make sure you're going to watch your profits.
And so how do you find those people? Because, you know, I speak to small business owners every week all around the country, and one of the issues they always come up is, well, I don't have these advisors because, I got to be honest with you, they make me feel stupid when I talk to them. What's the solution to that?
Well, I think one of them is if you have an advisor that makes you feel stupid, then they're not the right advisor. Quite frankly, when you're sitting down with an advisor, you sort of read them what I call the ground rules. You say, look, I don't know what I'm doing in this area. I need you to really get on my back and be a really great coach to me. I need you to know, you tell me when I'm doing something wrong or right, and to educate me along the way. And if you don't have a person that's doing that, they could be the wrong player.
And now they've really got to be pushing you, especially because a lot of business owners don't know what they should be doing. Like, oh, should I be reviewing financial statements every month? Should I be looking at a cash flow statement? Do I really need to only talk to me every 3 months or every year? They've got to tell you what's right.
I agree totally. You know, if you don't have a proactive expert on your team, you know, that really knows your business and is in your face about things getting done, for example, like your accountant or your CPA, if they're not calling you up quarterly or especially before the end of the year to make sure they're helping you plan cash flow and around your taxes, you have the wrong person.
Yeah, we're talking with Al Zenick. He is the CEO and founder of Trous Sullis Wealth Management. So besides putting together a championship-level team of experts, what else can you do to really make, as you say, 100% correct financial decisions for your company?
Well, you know, I think it all starts, Barry, with the person themselves. I think when you start a company, you have to have a vision of what you're trying to do, the life you want to lead now and in the future, and the cash flow you need, and make the company adhere to that. Most people start a company hoping that just to cover their expenses, and they really never have it where it's supplying what they want to, how they want to live in life. So it has to be a reflection of what you want.
And I guess, Al, why don't people do that is because they just really want to make sure that their idea is successful. I find a lot of folks don't jealously guard their cash flow. They just kind of give it away.
You know, it's really good. And I think that sometimes, Barry, you must see this in the entrepreneurial spirit. Yeah, entrepreneurs are really great at ideas. They're like these squirrels running after chestnuts, and they're sort of chaotic and whatever. And they have all these ideas, but they sometimes they don't have the structure around them, whether it's good support staff or experts, to sit them down and say, okay, great idea, but let's start putting this down on paper or whatever. So I think it's also basically who small businesses are. I think I was reading one of the parts of your book about you got to be crazy to start a small business.
Right.
Well, that's who they are.
Exactly. I mean, you got to start there. And that really goes to the point where the small business owner can't do it alone. They've got to find people that they can leverage in order to take their business the next step. One of the things I wanted to talk about before I let you go was, as I said, cash flow is really critical in a business, and most small business owners don't know how to manage their cash flow. Where can people find more cash from everyday business decisions?
Well, again, it begins making sure that, for one, you are printing out, like, a cash flow statement every month, and then just looking through it, you know, just looking through it and say, gee, what did I spend my cash on? And then looking to see, was that expense necessary? Or, gee, could I have financed this differently? It basically starts with looking at what you're doing, or your financial statement, or at least your income statement for the month, and start looking at what you're spending.
And what's really important is you got to be able to read the financial statement, Alan. I find a lot of people don't really understand that when your receivables actually go up, that's a decrease in your cash. And when your payables go up, that's actually an increase in cash. What's the best way for people to really learn about how to properly read this statement?
Well, I would tell you, you know, I would tell normally business owners you can read some simple books and whatever, but of course, the entrepreneurial spirit is they don't really get into that detail. Again, it's like buying a couple of hours of a good accountant's time and say, look, the ground rules here is that you're going to teach me. I want to know how to read this statement, and I want you to come to my office or be on the phone with me every month at this hour to read this statement along with me so that I can understand the difference is what I'm spending. Or if my accounts receivable are going up, that could be a danger, and I'm going to starve myself of cash flow.
It's interesting because I say to small business owners, if you don't do anything else, pull your operating account bank statement, right? Look at the cash at the beginning of the month, Al, and then look at the cash at the end of the month. Did it go up and down? That's the poor man's cash flow statement, isn't it?
I got to tell you, even to this day, I mean, I've been in business for a long time. I always know what I have in the bank. I know what I begin with. I know what I end with. And I think that's probably a good rule to start with.
So what else can we be doing to make better financial decisions?
Well, you know, I think that basically to make better ones, I think that, well, if you're looking at it yourself personally, I think, again, it has to be where, you know, I just sat down with a business owner for yesterday. They just started a business. They're trying to earn so much money in their life because they would like to be independent by the time they're in their 50s, and they're in their mid-40s. And so for them, the best financial decision for them as they're picking either their line of product in their business and or how they're going to run their business is what's the end result? What are you really, really after? And then we have a process called the Wealth Building Formula Process, which basically it allows you to make the 100% correct financial decision all the time. What's a decision that when you make it is going to increase your cash flow or decrease it? And if you know a way to do that, then you can always make the best financial decision.
And this is really important, Al, because we have to understand that people that run small businesses, we don't have pensions, right? And we're not going to be able to spend on Social Security. So whatever you're going to have after you retire, whether it's at 55, 65, or probably me, 75 or 85, you've got to be able to earn and keep it.
Well, I agree with you. And you know what? I think a simple way to look at a business is that, okay, most business owners look at, or beginning owners look at, these are my expenses. I know them. How much income do I have to cover that? And if I do that, I break even. But breaking even is not just covering your expenses. It's covering what you need to live your lifestyle, to pay your taxes, and to save and put aside so someday you don't have to work.
Right. And the no-brainer there is you always, if you're a small business owner, you can set up a SEP, retirement plan, and you can put a maximum of $50,000 or $51,000. That's tax-free right now. That's the first thing they should do, right?
When you're making money like that, having either a 401k or a SEP IRA or whatever. And I will tell you, especially if you're a bit older and you're making a bit more money, you want to look in something like a cash balance pension plan, where if you're making up $200,000-$400,000, if you're making that high, sometimes you can shelter up to $200,000-$250,000
of it. Wow. Well, Al, appreciate you being on the show. You don't want to end up like me, who when you look at your retirement plan with your wife, you realize, well, after you retire, your wife's probably going to divorce you and marry some other guy in 10 years. So you don't want to end up there. So, Al, thanks so much. You want to reach out, go to www.tswealth.com. Thanks again.
Thanks a lot.
Coming up, after-hour work parties have a big effect on company culture. But there's also dangerous places to be. How to successfully navigate it. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
You need to understand that the way you build wealth is you do not use the evening news or CNN or Fox to set the tone of your emotions around your investing.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
If you're thinking of changing your investing patterns because you're watching the news, you need to turn off the news. You are in charge of your destiny.
Dave Ramsey. Weeknights starting at 7. Presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM 560. The Answer.
News Radio. I'm Carmen Roberts. North Korea test fires a ballistic missile, sending it east about 310 miles. White House says it's aware of this morning's launch, but notes the missile flew a shorter distance than other tests. President Trump's in Saudi Arabia, where he met this morning with the King of Bahrain.
Our countries have a wonderful relationship together, but there has been a little strain.
The president will give a speech in a few hours to dozens of leaders from Muslim countries. He's expected to urge them to unite to defeat ISIS. And a famous circus takes a final bow today.
The Big Top is finally coming down after nearly a century and a half. The iconic Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus is performing its final act.
Fox's Evan Brown, the final show at New York's Nassau Coliseum on Long Island. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning, I'm Jeremy Scott. Taking a look at your roads as you're heading out and about. Don't forget, Grand Park seeing Columbus shut down to both directions. Roosevelt to Randolph for the Chicago Spring Half Marathon. Everything should be opening up by noon. Also, if you're on the Eisenhower and you're trying to get to Mannheim, do keep in mind that the ramp, actually inbound on the Eisenhower to Mannheim, will block off with a crash. Also, Torrance to eastbound 894 seeing a crash as well. This report is sponsored by Stand Up to Cancer.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. 20 years ago, when my mom had lung cancer, she didn't have many choices. But today, you do. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer, please visit standuptocancer.org/lungcancer to learn more.
Rain moves out with cloudy skies. Temperatures reach 64 degrees. And that's your look at traffic on AM 560. The Answer.
Growth is key to the success of small business owners, but a lot of companies fail to reach their potential because they can't find enough customers. Maybe because it's competition or not knowing where to find new customers, or maybe it's not having a big enough marketing or sales budget. But there is a new opportunity horizon that every small business can now take advantage of. Simply put, it's the 500 million consumers in China who love to buy online, especially authentic products made in America. They represent an unprecedented opportunity for every American small business to act now. But to make China work for you, there's only one partner you ever need. That's Alibaba, the Chinese version of Amazon and Google, where you can buy and sell anything with hundreds of millions of consumers and suppliers all there waiting for you. Alibaba has done the hard work creating the marketplace. If you want access to this incredible marketplace, you need to learn a lot, but fast. Sure, you can hire a consultant for hundreds of thousands of dollars, or you can watch thousands of YouTube videos and hope you can learn not to make a really big mistake. Or instead, you can attend a two-day Alibaba event in Detroit on June 20th, 21st called Gateway 17. Here you can meet experts, form new business relationships, and learn from companies already in China. In just 2 days, you can know everything you need to know to start growing fast. Gateway 17 has limited availability and expects to sell out fast. And because I know this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for my listeners, I've talked them into an amazing offer. While event passes are still available, save 50% off the registration fee. This is a great growth opportunity for current businesses as well as entrepreneurs. But you can only get this great deal if you go to gateway17.com and enter my code BITALK when you register. This is the only way to get this great offer. Go to gateway17.com. That's GATEWAY17.com and enter BITALK when you register. I look forward to seeing you there.
Here's microbiologist Dr. Kim O'Neill talking about Balance of Nature.
Scientific research has shown that many cancers and lifestyle diseases can be prevented with a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. This prevention comes from the phytochemicals in the plants. They fight against oxidants that damage the cell's DNA, causing mutations that lead to disease. I don't take any supplementation, but I take Balance of Nature because I've seen it in my lab. I've seen the immune response increase. I've seen your DNA repair capacity increase, and I've seen DNA protection, and I know that it works.
Take Dr. Howard's health challenge and find out how to get two free sets of fruits and veggies. We'll even ship them to you free. Call now for details. Call 1-800-2468-751. That's 1-800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, after work get-togethers and parties were always an interesting place for me to learn about my teammates and employees. I always felt that it was an important place to build culture. But what are the do's and don'ts of these activities? Sharon Schweitzer is a cross-cultural consultant, business etiquette expert, and best-selling international award-winning author who has built a career around understanding cultural differences and the tremendous role they play in building a strong and successful business team. Sharon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Barry. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword because work activities, after-work activities, are a critical part to building culture, but they also can be a dangerous place, right?
They can be if you don't know what you're doing.
So should you go to these events or just sort of avoid them as an employee?
It's a good idea to go as long as you pay attention to your office culture.
And so how do you do that?
Well, the best thing to do is make sure that you understand what your company culture is, because it can be vastly different, and alcohol boundaries do vary. So depending on the geography, how long you've been with the company, and a written and unwritten policy, you need to know where the boundaries lie. So take a little time to research. You also want to talk to your mentors or someone who's been there a while. Adjust and learn about what's acceptable and expected, and then be comfortable. You know, do what's comfortable for you and your colleagues.
So how do you figure out where those boundaries are? Are you looking to see, does the boss drink a lot, or where are those boundaries? How do you figure it out?
Now, you don't necessarily want to do as the boss does, because perhaps your boss really lets loose at these events and may go all out, may do some things that are way out of bounds, because you need to remember, whether it's fair or not, you may still be climbing that career ladder, and your view is not the same view as the view from the top. So your behavior is still being evaluated for promotion, and you are still on your way up.
So a lot of people at these type of events, you know, they kind of drink some alcohol, they start to loosen up. Is that a good thing to relax so you can share some things with your colleagues? Or I think sometimes that gets people in trouble.
Well, what you want to keep in mind whenever you go to these events is you don't want to loosen up too much. Okay? You want to be comfortable. That's key. Just don't become overly comfortable. These events are an ideal avenue for you to get to know your colleagues and get to know more than just that work-oriented facet. So, but you know, there's a thin line between sharing happy stories about your personal life and divulging inappropriate information.
Right.
And Keep in mind, your superiors are surrounding you. These are people
right.
who can promote you.
Right, exactly. And you say in some of your advice, and I love this term, you say you have to avoid the table dances. What does that mean?
Well, at some company events, there may be dancing, and some there may be not. But if dancing's a possibility, you've got to kind of be aware of how your grooves may be perceived about by those people around you. So if you're letting loose to Beyonce after a stressful work week, right, that may be a surefire way to be blowing off steam, but that is not the best way to impress your superiors. So feel free to join in with your coworkers, but remember what effect that is going to have, what kind of consequences that's going to have. It might be a better idea for you to bring conversation starters.
You know, it's interesting because I have a client who's having this big anniversary party, and a lot of people don't want to go because it's at a resort event, and men and women don't want to be seen in bathing suits. They're worried about that, so they're deciding not to go.
Well, you know, they should. There are two big rules about after work events. And one of the big ones is you have to show up, because if you don't go, research shows by not attending after work events, you may be perceived as disconnected and even uninterested. And that's a big problem. So you really want to go because you don't want to be perceived that way. And you don't need to wear a bathing suit. You can dress sharply and authentically. So, you know, it is, if it's a work party, it's an extension of the professional workday. It's still a business setting. So dress sharply and wear something that makes you feel comfortable in yourself. And if it's not a swimsuit, then don't wear that tankini. You know, wear something that you're comfortable in.
The last thing you had talked about before was you have to bring some conversation starters, because sometimes people are very comfortable in a business setting, but if you put them in a social setting, they have a hard time knowing what to talk about.
Well, and the last thing you want to do is continue business or discuss office gossip. So you want to keep that conversation between a professional and a personal balance, informative and interesting. So a great thing to do is bring questions about sports, the latest film or movie that was released, best-selling books, what's your summer read, what are your upcoming vacation plans? Travel is always interesting, as long as it's modest travel. Pets are wonderful topics, and this all focuses the conversation on other people, and it makes you very interested in them. And, of course, people love to talk about themselves.
Oh, we know that. Well, Sharon, thanks again for being on the show, and make sure at these events you don't talk about politics, right?
You've got it, Barry.
Go to www.protocolww.com. That's protocolww.com if you wanted to reach Sharon. Sharon, thanks so much for being on the show.
Have a great summer, Barry.
Thank you. As a business owner, how do you achieve stadium status? We'll be right back. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenlos with a look at the roadways. On the north side, Berry Avenue closed between Ashland and Paulina. It's closed for Mayfest. That continues until 6 a.m. on Monday morning. Also on the north side, Wrightwood is closed between Lincoln Avenue and Seminary. That's closed for the Lincoln Park Wine Festival. And that continues until later on tonight. Now on the Kennedy, the outbound lanes between Harlem and Cumberland, the left lane remains closed. That continues until 10 a.m. later on this morning. Also on the Dan Ryan inbound between I-57 and 91st, there's overnight construction. That left lane remains blocked, and that continues until 8 a.m. I-57 heading inbound between Halstead and the Ryan has overnight construction with the left lane blocked, and that continues to be in place until 8 a.m. Tonight, 58 in rain, tomorrow 64 and partly cloudy. Currently it is 63 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at Barry@Moltz.com. That's Barry@Moltz.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, well, it's true confession time again here on the radio. I always wanted to see what it would feel like to be Bruce Springsteen up in front of all those tens of thousands of screaming fans. And I actually got an opportunity that about 10 years ago when I spoke in front of 50,000 people at the Phillips Center. But you too can experience that. My next guest is John Brubaker. He's a nationally renowned performance consultant and speaker. John's the author of numerous books, including Hollywood Book Festival award-winning Seeds of Success, The Secret Playbook of Coach Morgan Randall, The Daily Game Plan, and The Coach Approach. John, welcome to the show.
Great to be here with you, Barry.
So I love what you have here. You have something that's called the stadium status. And I always feel like, God, I want to be in that stadium and I want to be like a celebrity. I want people to cheer me on. What is stadium status for a business person?
Well, that scholarly journal Urban Dictionary defines it as being a big enough star that you could fill an entire stadium when you're performing a concert. But I actually think stadium status is on some level a goal that lies within all of us, entrepreneurs, entertainers alike. And that's the desire to have your brand be known to the public.
And that everyone just knows that this is what your brand stands for. So, for example, UPS stands for reliability, delivery on time. Apple stands for innovation, right? It's those kind of things where, you know, Kleenex, well, that's exactly what it is. It's not tissue, it's Kleenex.
Exactly. And the ability to really have that singularity of focus, to stay in your lane, if you will, and to be known for, you know, one thing. And I think sometimes people forget, you know, there are these iconic brands that actually are cautionary tales because they didn't stay in their lane. You know, we don't think of cologne and perfume when we think of Harley Davidson, do we?
Well, they actually did come with a cologne, but it actually failed.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And McDonald's came out with a pizza for a period of time, but they're in the hamburger business. ESPN had the ESPN cell phone. And, you know, I think that when you really achieve stadium status, it's you understand that you got to stay in your lane and be known for one thing.
It's interesting. So is this what you mean by when you say that someone should really do this narrow casting rather than broadcasting?
But I think that narrow casting rather than broadcasting both refers to your target audience, but also, you know, I think we've gone beyond niching in business. We're really, this is the era of micro niching. You know, you see it in podcasts, you see it in just the diverse product offerings that are out there. But narrow casting is really focusing on your first few fanatics as opposed to the mediocre many. You want to get your message out there to the people who love it the most as opposed to the masses. And the best example I could give you, compare two entertainers. And I think everybody either markets like one of these two entertainers. And the first being U2. And if you'll recall, a couple of years ago, U2 came out with their new album. And it just, you woke up one morning, turned on your iPhone, and it was already downloaded in your iTunes account, whether you wanted it or not. Well, they were worried that their brand was on the decline. They hadn't released an album in a few years. They certainly hadn't toured. So they weren't sure it was really going to sell. So they just sold it to Apple and allowed Apple to give it away. And in the process, they really frustrated and annoyed a lot of consumers. It was something like 5 billion users got that album on their account and couldn't get it off. And it didn't really help them. I was a U2 fan, and it bothered me. I felt like my account had sort of been violated. And I think that's an example of broadcasting and selling yourself short, whereas the other entertainer who narrowcasts and focuses on his first few fanatics is country star Eric Church. So I would encourage everyone listening, you want to be more of an Eric Church marketer than a U2 marketer. Because what Eric Church did when he released his new album, Mr. Misunderstood, last November, is he did a secret release before it came out to the public. And he gave away copies to every member of his fan club, affectionately known as the Church Choir. I know this because I'm a member of the Church Choir. It just arrived on my doorstep, the white vinyl record. Talk about being remarkable. And these are the very people that would have been the first ones in line to pay for it, but he gave it away to them to create that goodwill and that social equity. He didn't ask them to tweet about it and talk about it and recommend it. They did so happily. I think we could all stand to learn from that, as we need to be creating raving fans and advocates and promoters for what we have to offer. And this, it starts with our first few fans.
And this is really interesting, John, because it really is counterintuitive. Some people would say, why should I give away my product to the people that are naturally going to be the first to buy it?
Because it speaks to the law of reciprocity. Anytime someone does a kind act for us of any kind, we want to reciprocate and pay that back, or really pay it forward in this case. So the most valuable thing people can do is share the message for you. You know, it'd be one thing for me to come on air and tell you I wrote an awesome book. It's a totally other thing for five or six of your friends to tell you how awesome John Brubaker's book is. And that's what he's really done. You know, a lot of entertainers focus on the traditional advertising, press releases, press conferences, traditional media, where they beat their own drum. And what he did was he gave his loyal fans who purchased tickets and merchandise, he gave them a gift, and they became advocates for his brand.
Absolutely. Well, John, I appreciate being on the show. If you want to reach John, you can go to his website. It's coachbrew.com. John, thanks again.
Thanks, Barry.
Coming up, how health and wellness branding is changing. This AM 560 The Answer. Be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Balance of Nature's Fruits and Veggies.
It worked for me. I need it in the afternoon. I wear down. I'm 84. And in the afternoon, I sort of slow down. I take my Balance of Nature, and it picks me right up.
Knowing that I'm getting my fruits and vegetables, I feel better.
I have a blood disease, but I've been taking this, and I really don't bleed as much as I used to either. That in itself, to me, is a miracle. I will continue my Balance of Nature. The best thing that Dr. Howard ever did was make these pills.
Take Dr. Howard's health challenge and find out how to get the best offer they've ever given. Two free sets of fruits and veggies. We'll even ship them to you free. Call now for details. Call 1-800-2468-751. That's 1-800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, billions of dollars a year are spent on branding for health and wellness companies. But how do you effectively get to the consumers actually changing? Here to help is Vince Perry. He's a 30-year veteran of the health and wellness communication industry and is founder of the Perry Branding Group. He was previously the chief branding officer at Inventive Health. Vince, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Barry. It's
so
a pleasure.
What are some of the recent trends in healthcare branding?
Well, some of the recent trends in healthcare branding are fortunately understanding the customer a lot more. These are not products that people want to buy. They resent buying them. And people need to stop selling them like their hotels or beer. Basically, no one celebrates their identity with shouting about their laxative or anything. These are brands that people don't want to take and that don't want to anyone to know that they're taking. So the recent trend is to help understand that this is a restoration of identity, not a celebration of identity. So let's be more discreet and more trusting and stop trying to sell and try to understand better.
This is actually a really interesting point, Vince, because for a lot of products, you want people to brag about that they're actually using your product. But unlike if you're selling a laxative, people are probably not going to do that.
No. In fact, one of the laxatives that I mentioned in my book, their commercial was, "I love my laxative." That's the kind of thing that gives health and wellness a bad name and pharmaceuticals a bad name. People don't want to take these products. They have to. There's a built-in resentment about them. And as a result, they have to be sold in ways that help people understand how it restores normalcy to their lives rather than celebrates aspirational hopes and desires in people's lives.
So what additional advice would you have for health and wellness brands?
Well, additional advice is ask the right questions. A lot of times the research that's done is done just like consumer brands are done. What do you like about us? When will you use us? What will you use us instead of? And try to play more games, so to speak. I recently did a focus group with a bunch of women who were going through menopause, and instead of asking them about menopause and hearing all the lame jokes about it or all of the complaints, I gave them all $100 in Monopoly money and asked them to bid on the values that they would want most going through menopause. And the values they bought most were peace of mind and lack of pain and other things that you wouldn't get from when you would ask them. So I think the biggest advice is ask the right questions. Don't ask direct questions. Sort of play behavioral psychological games with them to get a deeper emotional insights.
Vince, the last question I had for you is, how much weight does the physician still have on the buying decision of the patient, since so many patients come to the doctor's office and they've already done all this research?
Yeah, it depends on the nature of the brand. If it's a brand that's more of a lifestyle brand like Viagra or Propecia, which grows hair, the doctor will pretty much write a prescription for whatever the patient's looking for. That goes true for birth control pills as well. These are lifestyle brands. They're not solving a pathological problem. They're addressing a desire for someone to restore what illnesses might have taken away or what their condition might have taken away. But in categories like cancer and antibiotics and things like that, the doctor's still the most trusted authority in healthcare for that type of advice. And patients, 8 out of 10 times, will take what the doctor gives them.
Well, Vince, thanks for being on the show. If you want to reach Vince, go to www.perrybrandinggroup.com. Vince, thanks again.
Thanks so much, Barry.
And I want to thank all of you for joining this week's radio show. And I want to thank our sponsors, Nextiva and Alibaba. And, of course, I want to thank our staff, our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being more successful this year in your business, give me a call on my private line, 773-837-8250, or email me at barry@maltz.com. Isn't this the year that you get your business unstuck? Isn't this the year you finally make the money you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust the few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
If you're over the age of 50,